Friends, this may come as a surprise to some, but pastors need to be encouraged.
Yes.
Why? The pastor is in a precarious position. He can't please everyone. It's been said, if he is young, he lacks experience. If his hair is gray, he's too old for the young people. If he has several children, he has too many. If he has no children, he's setting a bad example. If he preaches from his notes, his sermon is dry. If he doesn't use notes, he hasn't studied and his sermon isn't deep. If he is attentive to the poor people in the church, he is playing to the grandstand. If he pays attention to the wealthy, he's trying to be an aristocrat. If he suggests changes for improvements of the church, he's a dictator. If he makes no suggestions, he has no vision. If he uses too many illustrations, he neglects the Bible. If he doesn't use enough illustrations, his message is boring. If he sticks to something that works, he can't handle change. But if he changes often, he is fickle, unstable, and impulsive. If he condemns wrong, he is cranky. If he doesn't, he's a compromiser. If he fails to please somebody, he's hurting the church and ought to leave. If he tries to please everyone, he is an idiot. If he drives an old car, he shames his congregation. If he drives a new car, he is being paid too much. If he preaches all the time, the people get tired of hearing one man. And if he invites guest speakers, he's shirking his responsibilities. If he receives a large salary, he's mercenary. And if he receives only a small salary, well, it proves he isn't worth much anyway. No wonder in January and February of 2004, the issue of Christian Examiner newspaper reported that between 1,400 and 1,600 pastors leave the ministry every month. Pastors really need encouragement. But let me add, friends, that everyone in this church today will be in need of encouragement at some time of their lives. In fact, as we sit here today with our beautiful smiles, some folks here now are discouraged. Well, why? Well, as a Christian, that's one of the objectives of Satan, to discourage you. Since he can't unsave you, he will discourage you. He knows that discouragement will eat away at your joy, your desire to serve God, your worship, your desire to read God's word, and your desire to pray. And that's why I shared this little excerpt from Max Lucado's book, Facing Your Giants, last week. He asked, have you ever given up? Been in a slump? Most of us have. Goliath owns a slump gun. custom designed 12 zillion scope. It fires not bullets, but sadness. It takes not lives, but smiles. It inflicts not flesh wounds, but faith wounds. Relationships sour, skies darken and billow, your nights defy the sunrise, you've been slumped, you feel like you're on your last stand. The good news, friends, is that God's word offers us tremendous help to deal with our battle to stay encouraged. You don't have to let life's challenges overwhelm you. God wants to help you to face life with confidence and enthusiasm. He wants you to be encouraged, and He wants you to experience a joyful life. I'm not saying that you won't experience trouble if you follow Christ. I'm saying God wants to help you to stay encouraged in spite of your trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And how do you stay encouraged? Well, perhaps the Bible's greatest example on how to do this is David. And so I'm going to tie last week's sermon into this week's sermon by just recapping. David must have had times in his life when he was discouraged. There were times in his life when he entertained thoughts of, God, where are you? Why is this happening? Why are you so far from me? Let me give you some background as a recap also to our text, which is in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 8. For over seven years, friends, David is running from his own king. Saul, who is envious of him, hunting him down to kill him. Saul had tried over 16 times to kill David. Saul is eaten up with envy and paranoia that he mistakenly thinks David is trying to steal his throne. So he tries to take David's life on several occasions. David has to flee. You know where he runs to? He runs to the Philistines, or Philistines as I like to say it, Philistines, who were the enemies of Israel. He runs to the enemies to seek refuge there, where he and his soldiers are employed as mercenaries to fight on the team of the Philistines. Can you beat that? But one day, the Philistines go to fight against the Israelites. So they're not going to let David come and fight his own people. So David is sent home. And when they arrive to their temporary home at Ziklag, they find that the Amalekites, another enemy, had raided the town, burnt down the houses, and had taken their wives and children hostage. David and his men, they are already tired and hungry. They thought that when they come home, they would have the warmth and the welcome of their families. They will rest and have good food. But instead, they come home to the shocking scene of emptiness and desolation and loss. And these big, brave warriors, David had the best. When these big, brave warriors, these grown men, come and see this, they are so overwhelmed by their sorrow that the Bible says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. That was a sad day. That was a bad day, friends. These strong men cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And perhaps you have had days like that. Days when the sun refused to shine. Days when your heart ached so much that you had wished you could be someone else or you could be somewhere else. But wait, though it doesn't seem possible, things get worse for David. And in the next verse it says, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, his men. There were 600 of them. They spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all these men, all the people, were bitterly grieved, every one for his sons and his daughters. These men look around at what's left of their home smoldering on the ground, and as the smoke rises from the ashes, so does their hurt and anger. They need an outlet. Guess who? They choose to take things out of David, their leader. And this applies to the whole world. No matter what position you held, if there's a problem there and you're the leader, guess what? You eat. This was one of the most difficult situations imaginable. Away from his real home, chased by a mentally ill king, living like a tramp, forced to fight on the side of the enemy, coming home to his wife and children kidnapped, and now his own men speak of mutiny, of making him a scapegoat for their misery, and they threaten to kill him. This was a dark chapter in David's life. This was rock bottom for David. This was the end of the rope for David. David had nobody. His family weren't even there to console him, friends. And now his associates, these hand-picked 600 fine soldiers, they want to kill him now. Most people would have been totally overwhelmed by this turn of events. Most of us, if we were in David's shoes, we would have thrown in the towel. But in one of the most dramatic 180 degree turn in history, the Bible says this in verse 6b, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David had become so encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. You know what he does? He rallies his fellows here. Come here, guys, come here. And they went after the Amalekites, gave them a good thrashing, and brought back their wives and all their possessions, and their children and grandchildren. David was really encouraged. God wants you and I, friends, to identify with David, not only in his sorrow, but also in his victory, also in his joy. And I want to spend a little bit of today's sermon. I know I recap most of the stuff, and I want to talk about three practical ways from the story we read on how to encourage yourself in God. Number one, put worship before warfare.
Amen. Amen.
Put worship before warfare. David is well known as a mighty man of warfare. His entry into warfare takes place against a giant called Goliath. And with a sling and stones and with lots of experience in protecting his father's flock from predators like lions and bears, David defeats Goliath.
Amen.
What an astounding victory, friends. The soldiers in both the Philistine army and the Israelite army viewed this as a spectacle, as an event that is unbelievable. A spectacle of disbelief. A little shepherd boy with a sling and a small stone drops a blasphemous uncircumcised giant. Anyway, I just threw that part. It's not in my notes. And then he confiscates this giant's sword and terminates him, eliminates him, makes Goliath an ex-giant. With his own weapon. The Israelite soldiers cheer and the Philistine soldiers run for dear life. But friends, listen, don't miss the point of David's entire life. Before anything else, David was a first-class worshiper.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Out of the 150 Psalms, he wrote 73. Songs of worship. Can you see this little fellow sitting there? Worshiping? Eh? Pull out his harp. Hey, worshiping, spending time worshiping, writing songs, the words, 73. He was a first-class worshiper, friends. And yeah, in our text today, David didn't just get angry. Hey? He didn't just lose his temper. He didn't just stomp off into battle against the Amalekites to reclaim his family and property. No, he paused and spent time in worship. He spent time with God. That teaches me, because you know, sometimes I want to go from 0 to 100. And God, David said, worship, put worship before warfare. You will find this is the most important principle in all of your life. You'll find that spending time with God is your first priority if you are to stay encouraged in the midst of the demands of life. You need to spend time with God every day, friends, because He made you.
Amen.
He created you to worship Him. He deserves your worship. He is worthy of your time and attention. Your struggles are not the center of your life. Your joy is not the center of your life. God is the center of your life.
Amen.
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 God's not saying, now, you know what, as the center of your life, you must pursue happiness. No. Pursue me. I'm the center. Friends, don't you feel motivated and uplifted and encouraged after worshiping? Some of you, when I look at you, you got your lovely smile on. I know sometimes that you don't have a lovely week. You've had a tough week. But I watch you here. After worshiping and you leave in here, or you're going to have a coffee, I see the joy of the Lord as your strength.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You have spent time in worship. You're going to have to fight for your place in life sometimes. But before you fight, you need to find time for God. Can you imagine a soldier say, I'm going to grab my gun today, hey? And I'm going to march off to war. I don't need to train and march and all that. I don't need to know how to load this gun. I don't need to know what's our plan. No. That's not how a soldier works. Spends time with his commander. They go over the weapons they're going to use, where they're going to come in, their plan, and so on, friends. A prepared soldier is a victorious soldier. And your preparation for spiritual warfare is time spent with God.
Amen.
Amen. The second practical way for encouraging yourself in God is ask God for direction. After David spent time with God, listen to what he did next that brought encouragement into his life. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7 and 8. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring me the ephod, which is a holy vest. Please bring the ephod, yeah, to me. So David inquired of the Lord. Listen. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue? Shall I chase after this troop who took our families? Shall I overtake them? Shall I catch them? And he said to David, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. You see, David wore this ephod, this vest, this holy vest, to symbolize the presence of God. David was symbolically going into the presence of God to worship and to ask God's direction, to get and determine God's will. David, friends, always sought God's advice. He knew God. He knew that God knows best. Let me just tell you a few. You can check it out. The first time he faced the Philistine in the wilderness, 1 Samuel 23:2 says, David inquired of the Lord. When he felt small against the enemy, 1 Samuel 23:4, David inquired of the Lord. When attacked by the Amalekites, 1 Samuel 38, David inquired of the Lord. Wondering what to do after the death of Saul, 2 Samuel 2 verse 1, David inquired of the Lord. When crowned as king and pursued by the Philistine, David inquired of the Lord, 2 Samuel 5:19. David defeated them. David defeated them, yet they mounted another attack. So guess what happened in 2 Samuel 5:23? David inquired of the Lord. Did you get that pattern, friends?
Yes.
Hey, you get what's happening here? Yes, the situation. Yes, this heaviness. Yes, this discouragement. But after I worship, I'm going to ask. After I worship God, I ask him for his direction. First he gained his composure by worshiping God. Now he makes his plans by consulting God. If you start off worshiping God, friend, that's great. That's awesome. But don't forget to ask God's direction and to follow God's instruction if you want to stay encouraged. Sometimes, in the hustle and bustle of life, we spend time in prayer and we figure it all out. I'm going to do this, that, this, this, and that. Isn't that so? We forget to seek God's direction. Sometimes we get the worship part right, but stress gets us so disorientated that we forget to ask God for direction. But it's a mistake, friends. We need to know what God wants us to do. not what our human nature dictates, not what others say, but what God says. You know, friends, sometimes when we have in a hard time, in our minds we think, I can't wait for what she's going to tell me. I can't wait for what he's going to say and recommend. Friends, your friends mean well, but rather get God's direction.
Amen.
Amen. Rather seek God's face on the situation. I've been stressing that, friends. Look what the Bible says, where our joy comes from in times of stress. And as on a Wednesday night, we've been reading through this week, this Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 143. As pressure and stress bear down on me, my joy comes from your commands. Isn't that something? You know that Psalm 119 has 10 different words and phrases for the word of God. The psalmist says, you know, I always go back to the word of God, your precepts, your law, your statutes, and so on. Friends, you need to find out what God is saying. Find out what God tells you to do, and then do it. Just two chapters prior to our text, which is 1 Samuel 30, 1 to 8. Just two chapters prior to that, in other words, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, just two chapters before that, we find another person trying to find out what to do during a tough spot. Now, this is a very important part, friends. King Saul was getting ready to go to war. And the prophet Samuel, who had guided him so many times, had now died. So you know what Saul did? He received advice, and by consulting a psychic, a medium. What a tragedy. In 1 Samuel 28:7, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, one who talks to dead people. Find me a psychic who talks to dead people, that I may go to her and inquire of her what will happen. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a psychic, who is a medium, who talks to dead people in Endor. I think that's the saddest news you heard today. King Saul disguises himself and goes to Endor to ask a psychic for directions. How sad! Saul is so far from God. He is so far from God that the only way he had heard from God in the past was through the prophet Samuel. In desperation, he goes to the wrong place for advice. Listen, friends, don't be tempted. It's amazing how many Christians are reading their horoscopes. What's my day like? What's in you? They don't open the word. They don't read the word. They don't go to God for consultation. They don't go to God for direction. They read in horoscopes and visiting mediums. Listen, friends, man. We Christians, we don't do that. We don't do that. There are a lot of people parading. You turn on your TV. There's programs now about that. There's a lot of people parading around giving advice that are tricking and deceiving people. You say, well, how does Johnny the psychic know? Well, Satan is a liar. Isn't that true? He is a liar. And we don't say, oh, I'm sorry to say that. You're a liar. Amen. And the most pathetic thing is when Christians fall for it. Friends, Satan's purpose in offering other forms of counsel is to keep you from coming to God for direction. Hey? Don't fall for it. There are only two types of advice: godly advice and ungodly advice. And the Bible promises blessing for not following ungodly advice. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Another version says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You must opt for godly advice if you want to stay encouraged. Ungodly advice will mess up your thinking, friends, and eventually lead you to misery. If you want to encourage yourself in God, ask God for directions. What must I do, Lord? David says, shall I pursue this troop who took our families? Shall I overtake them? God said, go for them. David didn't get all mad and you know what? Lose his temper. There he's running down the road like a hooligan. No. He's not going after those Amalekites because now he's all mad. No, he calms down, worships and asks. Friends. Lastly, another practical way for encouraging yourself in God is treat others fairly. You say, hey, hang on now, Keith, wait now. What does this have to do with encouraging yourself in God? I'm so glad you asked that, John. In your mind. A lot of times, listen, friends, a lot of times when life gets hard, you're tempted to do what David's soldiers did. Isn't that true? It's so easy to become like David's soldiers. You're tempted to take it out on someone else. Misery loves company. You are in the pit of despair, and instead of spending time with God and asking Him what to do, you do a silly thing. You hurt Him, so you hurt someone else. You know that saying, hurt people hurt people. Did you catch it just like that? Yes. Others are like, what? Hurt people. Hurt people. Usually, when the crisis passes and time, you have time to reflect on having behaved badly towards someone, now you have another problem. You have to mend fences you broke down in your anger. Friends, do yourself a favor. When troubles come, be aware of yourself and behave yourself. David was aware of this principle. I want to tell you this is a lovely part. He was aware of this principle, friends, when he left to hunt down the Amalekites that had taken their families. 200, listen, 200 men in his army of 600 men were so tired and burnt out that they could not go on. So David let them rest. David said, take a break, buddy. Take a break. He didn't browbeat them into going. He didn't put them on a guilt trip and say, no. He told them to stay and rest and watch their stuff. And when he returned with the spoils of battle, he gave them an even portion with the 400 who went to fight. And this is the rule in Israel, it became the rule in Israel after that point. David, encouraged in God, behaved like God. Amen. Isn't that lovely? Friends, dark days can be a real test for your behavior. And if you want to encourage yourself in God, you need to act like God would act. Express kindness towards others. Love them in spite of their failure. Don't take your anger and frustration out on them. David would face more challenges in his life after this incident. But you know what? The key to staying encouraged in life is to walk with God and live according to his instructions. And when you deviate from that, you will lose your joy. Don't give up. In conclusion, don't make the mistake of Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she attempted to swim the chilly ocean waters between Catalina Island and the Californian shore. She swam through foggy weather and choppy seas for 15 hours. Her muscles began to cramp and her resolve weakened. She begged to be taken out of the water. But her mother, who was riding alongside in a little boat, urged her not to give up. Don't give up, Florence. She kept trying and grew exhausted and stopped swimming. So the aides lifted her out of the water and put her in the boat. They paddled for a few minutes and the mist broke. And she discovered that the shore was less than a half a mile away. She said, all I could see was fog. She explained at a conference. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. To that story, Max Lucado adds, take a long look at the shore that awaits you. Don't be fooled by the fog of the slump. The finish may be only strokes away. God may be at this moment lifting his hand to signal Gabriel to grab the trumpet. Angels may be assembling, saints gathering, demons trembling. Stay at it. Stay in the water. Stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Give grace one more time. Be generous one more time. Teach one more class. encourage one more soul, swim one more stroke. Friends, encourage yourself in the Lord. And remember, you walk by faith and not by sight. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, God says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Encourage yourself in the Lord and remember, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, the Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Encourage yourself in the Lord and remember Psalm 150 verse 1 and 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with sound of the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the cymbal and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding